These obviously are tough times for local restaurants, for all restaurants for that matter. And our friend Mike Johnson from Sugar Fire is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker. And Mike, first of all, thanks for taking some time with us. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Everything's well. You have 11 stores within our listening area. How are things going? What are you guys doing right now?
Well, I mean, they seem like they're going okay. We got it knocked down to just curbside and delivery and carry out. I think we closed two stores total, Indianapolis and Cape Girardeau. And the rest we're keeping open for now. They seem like they're doing okay. You know, it's not as busy as, I mean, we're at like 25% of sales, of normal sales, really. So, you know, it's slow, but we're hanging in there.
And people can go to sugarfiresmokehouse.com, find the location nearest you, and make your order and take care of some local businesses. And Sugar Fire is one of those that provide great food.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no doubt. You should, for sure. I got the one by me in O'Fallon, Illinois. Do an unbelievable job. Love what you guys are doing over there. Hey, Mike, I wanted to say, first off, thank you for last time that we had you on, because we were talking about a ton of different things when it comes to grilling and it comes to smoking stuff. We talked about grilling a steak, and you mentioned the cast iron, and you mentioned a rub. It was Boar's Night Out White Lightning. Dude, I went online right after our interview. I bought it. I did the whole cast iron steak when it came in. That thing was phenomenal, my man. Thank you.
It is good. I got a new one for you if you want to hear that one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, it's called Johnny Joseph's Steak Rub.
Johnny Joseph's.
Now this guy has like won the World State Championship like 5 times when I was fighting and getting his rub. But then I did a contest with him, like maybe it was like in January he was in it, and he just wins every time. So that's the new one I've been using. It's called Johnny Joseph. It's a lot different from that White Lightning.
All right, I'm going to check that one out for sure, because I trust you at this point. Yeah. Now, are you still steadfast on, if you're grilling, to do the cast iron skillet if you got one?
I mean, I do it every way. I have a grill farm in my backyard. You should see it. It's embarrassing. I'm out in my backyard right now. I actually was FaceTiming someone today, and they're like, how many grills do you have? I think I have like 9 grills out here.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I know. It's embarrassing.
And so each grill does a different thing, right?
No, not really. I'm just like Imelda Marcos, but more butch.
The shoes.
I don't know. If she had shoes, I have grills.
Hey, Mike,
I got like some Green Mountain grills. I got Weber's. I got drum smokers. I got all kinds of stuff.
By the way, in general, because I have the Traeger, and I like to use different sorts of pellets, and I like to use wood in my gas grill. Just in typical fashion, in terms of poultry, in terms of red meat, what are your favorite types of wood to use with the types of meat?
Well, I like to mix them. I'll use a strong wood like mesquite or hickory. I'll use a little bit of that, and I'll use a fruit wood too, like cherry or apple. So I like to mix them up, you know. So I know today I cooked some ribeyes earlier for lunch, and I put a little some cherry in there, and I put a little hickory in there on top of the coals.
Okay, great. This question is an interesting one. How important is the quality of the meat? Do you have to spend big to have yourself a good barbecue?
You don't have to spend big, not at all. It makes it easier, that's for sure. It's more about freshness than anything, you know. And there's all kinds of tricks, you know. You can marinate it longer for a cheaper cut. I use a thing called a jacquard. Do you know what a jacquard is?
No.
J-A-C-C-A-R-D. It's a thing I actually used when working in France years ago. It's like it's got like 30 or 40 of these pins in it, and you just jab your steak, you pound on it, and it punches holes in it, and that'll tenderize anything. So I use that a lot. A lot of competition guys do that on their chicken thighs.
Mike, I have one of those, and I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, it's called jacquard.
Okay.
Well, you can call it. I don't care anymore. You can call it anything you want to at this point.
I thought it was just a tenderizer, but I'm glad.
Yeah. It's French, Randy. Come on. Yeah.
Mike, so when you are, all right, let's say you don't want to take the time to really prepare your barbecuing, your grilling setup, and you want to do something quickly. Are there any tips to that, or would you say that you can't really rush something like that?
I mean, what does anybody have to do right now anyway?
It's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I find myself going out of the way to do extra steps.
So then, in preparation, what are some things that people need to do that they don't really do or don't think about?
I mean, if I'm cooking something hot and fast, I'll let it come to room temperature before I cook it. And which I don't know if there's arguments for and against that. If I'm cooking it long, like over 10, 12 hours, I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll just let it go cold. I know I rest every, no matter what I cook, I rest for 15, 20 minutes when it's done, no matter what it is. It can be a chicken wing or a steak or a whole brisket, whatever. I always rest them.
So what's the, for people who don't know, and but for people who don't, why rest the meat after you're done cooking it?
Well, that allows the, I'm not sure of the science behind it. I'm not a Scientologist, but it lets the juices really come through, and it really makes the perfect temperature. Like, it allows your meat to look super pink when it's done. Like, if you grill it, and it, you know, kind of be like, if you just start cutting into it, it'll be bright red in the middle, and then kind of cook on the outside. If you want it to be super pink and juicy throughout, you got to let the meat rest.
I don't think Scientologists know how to grill, man.
I don't think so.
They don't even know that.
They microwave stuff.
Yeah, everything is microwaved.
Mike, I want to go back to the idea of freshness, because you know right now that a lot of people are they're going to the store and they're trying to go once. Maybe it's once for the month. Maybe it's once for a couple of weeks. But they're stocking up, right? They're putting stuff in the freezer. Is there any tips for, you know, trying to make that stuff as fresh as possible, whether it's like injecting something or you know, different cooking techniques?
Well, I mean, I'm cutting stuff. I'm using more Ziploc baggies than I ever thought I would use. I'm kind of cutting stuff up, and you know, like a whole brisket, what we've done here is like, you know, I'll just go to the restaurant and get a whole brisket and we'll smoke it here, but then we're kind of sick of barbecue, so we'll eat it like five different ways. Like, we'll make brisket stroganoff or brisket cheesesteak. Tonight we're having brisket potato skins, you know, just utilizing stuff different ways like that is how we're doing it.
Yeah, so that's a good way to do it. Prepare something big, and then afterwards, and maybe you can freeze it and then just throw it in. I was thinking about like the other way of like, I have so much raw meat, but I like the way that you're thinking right here.
Yeah, I mean, you can freeze that too. I mean, we buy those. We like the meal plan too, so we bought all those little plastic containers with lids. I don't know what they're called. Like, what do you call those things?
Tupperware.
Like Tupperware, and then, so we'll just, you know, cook a bunch of food and then meal plan them out. Like, you know, we'll have 20 things with like chicken and rice and sweet potato or whatever. But we have like five kids here too, so college kids, the little kids, you know, so it's a lot easier to have a bunch of stuff planned out like that.
BT was talking earlier before we had you on about cooking the brisket, and it might be the one thing that that he has difficulty with. Is there somebody else via the text line wants to know the same thing. What are some good tips to making sure you do the brisket properly?
Man, I mean, number one, you start with a good piece of meat. Low and slow is better. It allows for more air. Like, I have these drum smokers in my backyard, and lately I've been cooking in the backyard. I cook my briskets hot and fast, so I'll cook them in like 4 or 5 hours. But that's a lot harder to do. You got to do more stuff to it, and you got to pay more attention to it. Like, if you have that Traeger, I have Green Mountain Grills here, which are pellet smokers too. Those make it really easy. You basically just turn them on, and then if you just season it, and if you really just set your smoker at 225, you can really just let it go until it gets to the temperature you want. I like to pull briskets at like 198, 200 degrees when they're finished. And if you just open that smoker and spray it down with some, I spray it with beef stock or Worcestershire every 3-4 hours, you should be good to go. You don't have to wrap or anything. It's all about time and patience for me.
Mike Johnson of Sugar Fire with us on 101 ESPN. A couple of questions from listeners. If you were to cut that herd of grills down to one smoker, what's the best smoker on the market that you're comfortable with if you only have one?
For a home smoker?
Yes.
A Green Mountain Grill, for sure. So easy. Or Traeger. You know, I think it's the same setup, but my girlfriend Christina is a brand ambassador for Green Mountain Grill, so we have a few of them here at the house. Mm-hmm. And it's just so easy. You just turn it on, and it's perfect. I mean, chicken breast, steaks, I did burgers. I'm basically cooking everything on there, and with dishes piling up with all these fools in my house all the time, and nobody's cleaning up after themselves, you know? You just take it outside and just throw something on there, and forget about it, and then it's perfect.
That's perfect.
I'm loving cooking on that thing.
Here we have this question for you from Brad.
Smoked ham shank?
Yes.
Like a pork shank or like a ham hock? Or?
It sounded like a ham hock.
A ham hock?
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, I think you got to get a hold of a shank, a raw shank from a butcher, like an ossobuco, like a pork ossobuco. And then if you want to do a ham hock, I think you got to brine it. I don't think I've done one of those since culinary school.
Okay.
But they're basically, you got to brine those for like a week. It's kind of like a piece of bacon, then you smoke it.
That sounds pretty good, though.
Yeah, no, I know. It's good. What do we have to do anyway?
Right,
exactly.
Try one.
But has, just as an addendum there, though, has he run out of time? Here we are on Wednesday. If he wants to make something for Easter Sunday, has he run out of time to brine it?
No, I don't think so. No, I would try and get one. What the heck? Brine it for 3-4 days. Make the brine a little stronger. Add a little more salt, a little more sugar in that brine, you know, and then just let it rip on Sunday morning.
I like that. That's the thing. Let it rip it, and if you get a couple of beers, your stuff's going to taste even better while you're doing it.
That's what I'm saying.
Mike, I've got in my freezer right now, I've got a huge pork loin, and I'm not sure what I want to do with it. I was thinking about putting it on the rotisserie, but I might smoke it. I mean, what should I do with the pork loin?
Okay, well, now we made pork loin last night, and it was so cool. Have you ever heard of porchetta? Do you know what porchetta is?
I don't.
It's an Italian. It's like a pork belly in Italian. You take a pork belly, you season it up, and you put sausage in there. I already mentioned you. And I'm being asked to add credit for this. But but what you do is you would take a knife and kind of butterfly it at the out so it's flat. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Long one. So it's like a big square, big flat square, about a half an inch thick. And then you season that thing with, if you look up porchetta, you see all the seasonings. But it's basically like fennel, orange, garlic, a lot of olive oil, rosemary, herbs. And then you can put some Italian sausage on there. And then you roll that thing up. Okay, you just twist it up. And then normally, like a porchetta has a lot of fat on the outside, and you tie it up. But this one with the pork loin, you wrap it in bacon.
Okay.
So it just looks like a big, giant bacon burrito, I'd say. And you just put that in the grill and smoke it, and man, it's incredible.
Dude, done and done.
Dude, it's so good. You can even look up pork loin porchetta. I think there's recipes on the internet. The video's online. It's on Green Mountain Grills. It's on Green Mountain Grills or Chef Christina Fitzgerald's Facebook page from the last couple of days.
That's perfect.
Really, oh, beautiful. Yeah.
I'm going to that for sure. And again, just to make sure, Mike has been giving credit to Green Mountain Grills.
Yes.
I think it was more I was supposed to give credit to Chef Christina Fitzgerald. You know?
Mike, from the text line, somebody wants to know what the best way to reheat a steak is. I've had decent luck doing it on cast iron. So what do you recommend if you're going to do
it? Cast iron. And then if they want to get crazy, like I did these ribeyes for lunch. I always eat cold. Or like chicken breast, like I hate chicken breast reheated. Like it's always rubbery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I go cold on the steak and cold on the chicken breast and just man up. But, you can do cast iron. I think that would be the best way to do it and try and get a crust on there.
Hey, Mike, I want to do swordfish this weekend. It's obviously a very meaty fish. Any recommendations for swordfish or a similar sort of fish?
Yeah, that's a great fish to do on the grill. I used to live in Nantucket, and we had swordfish was what we were known for. A good olive oil, mark it on both sides, grill marks. That's not a fish you cook medium rare. That's a fish you cook all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Not like tuna or something like that. And then I like it with a good aioli. I don't know if you know how to make an aioli.
I can do that.
I mean, I like it with mayonnaise, right? Lemon. It's like a mayonnaise. But
whether it be Easter, whatever it is, what side is Mike Johnson bringing?
Boy, I got a thing. I don't know, man. My favorite side. I mean. I've been making a lot of collard greens lately. I don't know if you guys like collard greens.
I do.
What up, dude? They're so easy and fresh and good for you. I'd say collard greens with like lots of bacon, and you can put ham hocks, or if you want to go healthier, you put smoked turkey leg in there. You know, get one of those in the store and shred that kind of up and kind of add that instead of the ham hock. But it's basically bacon, onion, greens, cider vinegar, and you cook it in chicken stock. And then you can add a little sugar if you want to. Some people don't like sugar. but too easy and too delicious. And you can eat like a giant bowl, and I don't think it's a lot of – it won't hurt you too bad.
For those that have been to your High Point restaurant, and it's spectacular, with the best burgers in St. Louis, what do you consider, Mike, the secret to those burgers being? Why are they so good?
Well, and I know everybody probably says that, but we did a lot of research to get the right blend of meat. We buy, like really high-end prime beef, and it's weighed out 50% chuck, 25% meat from the short rib. That's beef flavor, and 25% of beef from the brisket, and that's fat content, and that's flavor. And then we also, in our two High Points, we buy these really expensive flat-top griddles. They got like an inch of a stainless on the flat-top, so that thing holds like an insanely high amount of heat. And so you can really press, smash the burger on there and get a beautiful crust. I think the crust is a big part of that, making it real crusty and then keeping it, and that keeps it really juicy in the middle. And then the other secret, too, that I think not a lot of people do is a toasted bun. I think that adds everything to a burger, a butter-toasted bun. I don't like a burger unless the bun's toasted. It's just the way I am. I think it keeps the bun soft and adds flavor. And I just think it kicks it up, and it kicks it up a lot.
Can we approximate that griddle, whether it's going with the skillet like we do with the steak or just with a griddle at home that we do pancakes with?
Yeah, same thing. You can do the same thing. I mean, it's just one or two. I mean, I'm sometimes we're cooking 25, 30 at a time. That's why it's got to stay crazy hot, and it has to have good recovery. Because when you put that, it brings temp down when you go in there with cold stuff. But, yeah, you could do – I mean, cast irons – I love cooking in cast iron at home. Those get crazy hot, and those are great for flat-top burgers.
Awesome.
That Traeger makes a mean burger, too,
Oh, I believe me, I get the emailed recipes, and I do so much of the stuff that they send, and I know Green Mountain has great recipes, too, as you mentioned. And you gave us a great recommendation last year on the 4th of July that I still use, and I can't get enough of what you guys do at the High Point, what you guys do at Sugar Fire, and none of us can. We love it, and we love getting some instruction from you, too.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. It's so nice you guys to call. I love talking to you guys.
Well, we enjoy it. And before Memorial Day, whether we have sports or not, we'll definitely have you in. And once again, we recommend people get to Sugar Fire. Just go to sugarfiresmokehouse.com, find the one nearest you, and it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. It's been voted that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's judgmental, but yeah, we won that probably every year from some, at least St. Louis Magazine or Sauce or Feast or someone. But there's also other great barbecue in St. Louis, too. But we do win that a lot.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks so much for the time again. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you. Appreciate it.
See ya. That is Mike Johnson, our friend from Sugar Fire and from High Point. And BT, as you mentioned, you have a Sugar Fire right down the street from you, as we do. And Ranj, I know that you've got one close to you in downtown St. Louis. So take advantage of some great food and make sure you take care of our local restaurateurs, because nobody's struggling more than they are at the moment because they just aren't getting the traffic that they've had.
And the Boathouse here in Forest Park, which is really close to where I live. Sugar Fire's, they make food for them. And it's pretty unfortunate that everything is going on right now, because obviously that is not open at the moment. But there's a Sugar Fire truck parked in their parking lot right now because, they're doing some good work there, or getting ready to. And High Point's not too far from where I'm at. Sugar Fire's all over this town, man. They're really good.
BT, what's the big takeaway for you? I love the Johnny Joseph's steak steak rub tip that we got.
I found that online already.
Did you?
It's like $8.60 or something like that. It's affordable, and if he says it's good, it's got to be good, because the Boar's Night Out White Lightning that he told me to get last time, that thing is ridiculous. You can get the double garlic one, too. That's pretty good. Or double butter. The thing that I've taken away from this is I'm going to do a porchetta, and that's going to happen this weekend.
Awesome. Good for you.
Porchetta.
Yeah, you're all over it. Yep. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, Alton police are cracking down on people who aren't abiding by the stay-at-home order, and nobody is safe. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.